We share with you what we believe here at Daleville Christian Church, and this statement of our faith comes from Philippians, the second chapter, verses 5 through 11. Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The scripture lesson today is taken from 2 Corinthians in the 5th chapter, verses 15 through verse 21, the end of the chapter. And he, Jesus, died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way. We do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. May the Lord indeed add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. You and I have received new life. And that new life didn't happen a long time ago, but it began happening when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And it happened then, but it happens again today. New life begins again today. You made a mistake yesterday, even a big one, it doesn't have to happen again. Even if you have a bad habit, you don't have to keep it. No matter what has gone on in your life before, you can be a blessing to others because of the power of Jesus Christ, who gave his life so you could have a new life. You accept his gift and your new life has begun. We've been focusing on what we believe here at Daleville Christian Church, and the way we are doing that, I guess, is you could say we're looking at what the apostles sang, because some of the words of the apostles and the letters are directly from the congregation's worship. The apostle quoting it back to the congregation, the words that they knew from the worship, to remind them of what they believe. They sang their faith, even as we sing our faith in the hymns and songs that we sing. And the faith they sang is quoted in the words the apostles wrote. And sometimes particular words are used to signal that we are at one of those phrases from a hymn. They're called true expressions or faithful statements or trustworthy sayings. This is a trustworthy saying. And those have come down to us that way in God's Word. We here at Daleville Christian Church often use these faithful statements as our own statements of faith. Today's scripture should be familiar to you. We've been using it since 2011 as one of our affirmations of faith. And I confess I'm very fond of these affirmations of faith, and today's is one of my favorites, although they are all good. I hope to share today that these affirmations of faith and of church and of worship are all tied together. Now, I've quoted the basketball coach at Indiana University, not because he's the basketball coach at Indiana University, although that is a worthy position, and in the Midwest it's almost a kingdom throne. No, I quote Tom Crean because he's a Christian, or he certainly claims to be one, just as I claim to be a Christian. Tom Crean said, "It's hard to live what you believe, and it's only going to get harder." It is hard to live what you believe, and it's only going to get harder. We in the church have been coasting along in our society. We in the church have believed that the society or our culture have claimed to be or aspired to be Christian. Many people in our country believe it's so easy to be a Christian in our society that they do not need the church in order to be a Christian. And maybe that's still true in parts of this country, but increasingly it's going to get harder and harder to be a Christian without the church. And today we talk about why that is true. Just as a contrast, Americans who call themselves Christians will today say, and I've had them say it to me, I can be just as good a Christian without the church. Now the statement is up for debate, and I certainly disagree with it, but people still say it. But Christians in China today will never say that. Just as a contrast to Americans who call themselves Christians, contrast that with Chinese Christians in China would never say they can be good Christians without the Church of Jesus Christ. How come they'll never say it? Because the Church of Jesus Christ supports them in their Christian walk. Chinese Christians believe and behave differently than everyone else in China. And I only mention this because it's clear that in China the church is Christian and Chinese society is not Christian. To be a follower of Jesus Christ, we need the support of other Christians. Chinese Christians in China know that. American Christians don't know it. We don't realize that it's getting harder and harder to follow Jesus in our society. It's going to get harder and harder to be a Christian without the church, because our culture no longer aspires to be Christian. That is not going to change for the foreseeable future. And we can look at some easy examples. Take marriage. Marriage is not just marriage. Yeah, marriage is a legal estate, but there is marriage, and there is Christian marriage, and there is a difference. The Bible even says so. The Bible, especially the New Testament, mentions marriage a dozen times. The letters of the apostles address married people a half dozen times, speaking specifically to wives a dozen times, speaking to husbands a dozen times. The New Testament even addresses the topic of divorce. We Americans have assumed for too long that most people were Christians and that when they got married, it was a Christian marriage. The New Testament does not talk that way. The Bible says in the New Testament, in today's Word of God, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God. If we are followers of Jesus Christ, there is such a thing as a Christian marriage, and it looks different from other people's marriages. I've told you many times of the missionary in Africa who was talking to a woman whose husband, who recently had become a Christian. The missionary asked the woman if she was glad that her husband had become a Christian, and she said yes. And the missionary asked the woman why she was glad that her husband had become a Christian, and she said that ever since her husband had become a Christian, that her husband had stopped beating her. Christian marriage is different from other marriages. Today's verse 15, and he, Jesus, died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but live for him who died for them and was raised again. In Christian marriage, it's no longer about me. The marriage is all about Jesus Christ. This is the new life that has come in Jesus Christ. At least four times in the New Testament, the apostle tells the people to do the things that are pleasing to the Lord. Ephesians 5, find out what pleases the Lord. Find it out. Colossians 1, live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. 1 Thessalonians 4, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. In marriage, In Christian marriage, the followers of Jesus desire to please the Lord. But speaking of pleasing the Lord, perhaps some of you Christian parents have used the verse in Colossians 3:20 where it says, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." American Christians might have readily referred to that verse, but with that verse I would also remember five other verses in God's Word that tells us to love the children. And we need to know what that means and how to do it to please the Lord before we instruct our children to obey us, because that pleases the Lord. I must say, it's easy to get couples talking about the words in the Bible. And I have couples come in for before we do a wedding, and I talk to them, you know, two or three times before the wedding. And it's easy to get couples talking about the words in the Bible where it says, "Wives, submit to your husbands." And I don't have to bring it up. They bring it up. They want to know if it's in the marriage ceremonies. They usually get to that word, submit, without my help. So even Christians can start a heated discussion about that verse in Ephesians. We seem ready to talk about that. But there's never any discussion on the verse in the same apostles' instructions that say, "Husbands, love your wives." Husbands, love your wives, it says in Ephesians, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Lots of discussion on the word submit, no discussion on the word love. Well, that ain't right. New life in Christ is about love. Loving more, loving differently, loving to please the Lord. Now, why do I mention any of this? Because you and I are called to a new life, to live life in Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ, and the way we live to please Jesus Christ is different from what other people do. Marriage is a good example because most have been married. Let's take another example from the current news situation. Even today, right now, there are articles available online concerning National Football League players and violence against women. From January 1st, 2012 to September 17, 2014, 33 NFL players were arrested on charges involving domestic violence, battery, assault, and murder. Half of those charges involve women as the victims of the violence. It goes without saying that most of the violence was against wives and girlfriends. It is time for followers of Jesus to say that is not what new life in Jesus Christ looks like. New life in Christ is different from the way other people live. NFL players are followed by children, especially boys, but violence is not a part of a Christian relationship. Now, you might say, "Hey, Pastor, can a Christian make a mistake or have an error in judgment or even lose it in the heat of the moment?" Yes. Yes, they can. And I would direct you to more verses from today's God's Word. Be reconciled to God and be a messenger of reconciliation. Having failed to please the Lord, how do we reconcile? Certainly, forgiveness needs to be requested from the Lord. Forgiveness needs to be requested from the injured party. Forgiveness needs to be requested from the church. Then, is there to be punishment or restitution or amends made? How does the reconciliation get played out? Well, in the Church of the Apostles, the church often was involved in that decision. The elders said what needed to be done following an offense. Now, I may have jumped the gun in talking about married life. Many people today don't bother to get married. You can't have a Christian marriage if you're not married. And yet the church is supposed to support marriage. You may be surprised to learn the church is supposed to support the single lifestyle as well, but remember that Christian single life is different than single life for anyone else. Jesus said there are those who are given by God to be single, and then there's everyone else. The followers of Jesus are to be a part of a Christian marriage or a Christian single lifestyle. Sexual relationships take place only within marriage. Why? Because if Christians are having sexual relationships with others they are not married to, it will wreck the community. The Christian community would be wrecked by sexual freedom. Sexual freedom will destroy the community that is supposed to support us in our new life in Christ. So sexual freedom is not a part of new life in Christ. The apostle talked about this in his letters. Life in Christ is different than life without Christ. And life with Jesus is way better than life without Jesus. Christians at home are not supposed to be themselves. Christians at home are to be becoming what Christ wants them to be. Home is where you work out some details of new life in Christ. I remember a wife said of her husband, who had a newfound faith or a newly rediscovered Christian faith, that her husband's whole attitude had changed. Everything was better. Christian marriage is different than other marriages. And the church supports us in our new life in Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul said, therefore, encourage one another, build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. The apostles encouraged the church, and the church was to encourage its own. There's even a ministry of encouragement to live the new life. But I shouldn't have to preach on this. A half a dozen of you here this morning have new body parts that you did not have when the summer began. You can now do things you couldn't do with your old body parts. Now you have to use your new body parts, and it takes practice and training. So does new life in Christ. That's what the church is for. Now, having said that, what the church has mistakenly done is reduce life in Christ to a few rules. Do this, don't do that. That isn't life in Christ. That is living like a Pharisee. Jesus did not die on the cross so that we could live by the rules. Jesus died on the cross so we could live for Jesus. What we in the church have done is come up with the rules and said, do this, don't do this. And we called it new life, but it isn't new life. Trying to live by the rules has taken Jesus out of the picture entirely. The Pharisees lived by the rules, and Jesus told them they'd miss the boat entirely. Where is the love in following rules? How do you encourage someone to follow rules? How do you grow in grace by following rules? How do you grow in love by following rules? How do you increase your love or your gentleness in following rules? Now, you may have to follow a program, but not rules. There's a saying often attributed to the great church reformer Martin Luther, who lived over 400 years ago. He was a very earthy man. He was to have said, love God and do what you like. Some people want to run with the second part of that. Do what you like. But the first part is love God. What is the commandment? Love God with all your heart. If you love God and try to please the Lord, are you going to want to hurt others? No. The Bible says there are no laws against doing the right thing. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those who belong to Christ do these things, and there are no laws against those things. Now, our legal system has changed a bit, but the sentiment is still true. There aren't any rules against doing the right thing, like love and respect and gentleness and goodness. Life in Christ is different, and the church supports this new lifestyle. And Jesus died for all, verse 15 again, and Jesus died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. I could go on with another example. To take smoking, for example. The church in America, by which I mean the churches in the North, have condemned smoking. The churches in the South, where tobacco has been grown, might condemn smoking, but they're quiet about it. Now, I lived in North Carolina for 3 years. Perhaps you know that when smoking tobacco began hundreds of years ago, it seemed like a fairly innocent pastime. Just 70 years ago, there were claims that smoking was actually good for you. Now we know better. Smoking and tobacco products are self-destructive. Self-destructive. The Lord does not want us to self-destruct. This is true of almost all indulgences, food and alcohol included. Overindulgence carries the possibility of self-destruction. The Bible does not condemn alcohol, but it does condemn drunkenness as a lifestyle. Why? It's self-destructive. Those who are partaking of the spirits of alcohol regularly are not available to the Holy Spirit. The very nature of these substances carries the possibilities of addiction. Addiction is when you cross the line between wanting to do something and being compelled to do it. Addiction means that you have begun to lose the choice of continuing or stopping. Addictions also interfere with our relationships. And speaking of addictive substances, would you be surprised if I told you that coffee was once condemned by the church? That the Mormons still condemn the drinking of coffee? All kidding aside, coffee carries the possibility of addiction. And I'm aware of that. I joke about coffee, but coffee must never interfere with what pleases the Lord. And Jesus died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Now, I've just touched on topics that are real examples of living for Jesus Christ and how living for Jesus and living with Jesus is very, very different than living without Jesus. And living with Jesus is way better than living without Jesus. For with Jesus, we have a new life. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You, living to please the Lord, that is the strength of the church. You living to please the Lord, that's the strength of the church. That's the blessing to everyone around you. You living your new life, that's the strength of the church. It isn't living by the rules. It's living for Jesus Christ. As you increase in pleasing the Lord, other followers of Jesus are encouraged. As our culture continues to leave Jesus behind, those living for Jesus will need more and more support from the church. The support Jesus intended when Jesus started the church, sending the apostles with another apostle so they could support each other. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. Amen.